This is Brother Hiles speaking. I'm staying in a hotel room. We're up in Northern California. In Lucerne, California. I'm looking out the window of my room to a beautiful lake. I've been thinking about people who are first at the kitchen, Hammond, and about the wonderful day we had this spring. And I've been listening to a tape of a sermon that I preached many, many years ago. I was just a kid preacher. This is the sermon that I'm giving those of you who earned it because of the big day several months ago. I have been laughing as I've been listening to it because the accent is so different. I can't believe I used to speak like I did. I guess maybe I've become sort of Yankee-eyed a little bit, but the same burden for souls is there, I think you'll see. The same enjoyment of preaching is there, I think you'll see. I had just started preaching. I was only in my 20s. And I was a little bit brash, maybe. Maybe I needed to season some. But I want to share with you a message I preached. I was down in a little town called Freer, F-R-E-E-R, Freer, Texas. Way, way down near the Mexican border. I don't think I've ever seen a town. It's unfinished, as Freer was. Just a little old Texas town. In a small congregation, in a small church. A young preacher preaching. You saw a preacher in the auditorium of that church now, and the next voice that you hear will be my voice many years ago. You won't believe this is your preacher. You're going to laugh a lot. You're going to not understand everything I say. I talk very fast. Now, you won't believe this, but everyone there understood everything I said. Well, we all mispronounced our words in the same way. So forgive, if you would please, the mispronunciation of the words. And forgive the mistakes of the young preacher. And feel his sincerity. Then and now.
20th of June, that's Father's Day, on the 20th of June. Now, how are we going to do? If we break the record, in other words, if we have 202, and that's not our goal, it's 200. If we surpass that goal, we're going to break these records. Would that be fun? Just call them all over the place, see, and just break. Only we're trying to find a single place to break these records. And, well, the floor, you've got to crack them over something, you know, that's a little hard, and we found an awful hard, that all our time, to find a place to break these things. So, for the record is concerned, that if we break the record, or have 202, we can break one of them over his head. Isn't that wonderful? Is that fine? All right. Now, what he's going to do, he's going to put one of the records up here, and over his name, he's going to put Brother Murphy, see? And if you have 202 inches from tomorrow, this record busts over his head. But the first time, enjoyed Brother Murphy, like that awful lot. So, the second one's going to run first time over the top of his head, and he's going to be the second one. Where's the first school superintendent? Fine. You're the lucky boy that's going to get the third one. Now, I want you to write the fellow's names on top of these records. Put the record up here, see? Broken record, say. See, come here, and I'll show you how it's going to be. See, we just had 200, see? We just had 200. All right, ready? All right, I've got another to do. We'll do it. All right, so now listen. We tried this little thing in our church, and I mean it just went over big. We broke all every record we ever had before. Now, seriously, I told the folks last night a little bit about our church. 17 months ago, a year and 5 months ago, we had 44 people in Sunday school. 5 weeks ago, we had 712 in Sunday school. We had 92 people enrolled in our Sunday school 17 months ago, and now we have 923 people enrolled in our Sunday school right now. Now, I'm trying to say this. We haven't got a thing you haven't got, and you can have 200 anytime you want to have 200. There are enough folks in Greece, you can have 1,000. You have plenty left over the first Baptist church. And by the way, wouldn't it be wonderful to have the most in Sunday school in this church in Freer that Sunday, huh? I didn't call any names. Oh, what church did you supposed to be? But the one was Freer had the biggest crowd in front of school of any church, and in this church, had the biggest crowd of any church in Freer. Now, seriously, recognize this. I know what you do. You want to get to know South for it. Just don't do a thing about this. Just sit there, you know, and just grunt. You know, just grunt. Just don't do a thing. Get old, stick in the mud, and a wet blanket, and anything you want to be. But you know, I know some folks that smile. It breathes right around here. Think the law is fine. I really do. Now, I hope you're not one of those kind. If you are, then go ahead and bleed. Get the scab on there. Maybe you get used to it, it'll be good. Now, seriously, all you need to do is get excited about this thing. That's all you need to do. Just get some inspiration, as Virginia say, and get excited about this thing. Now, you're not old, too old. I know you're old, but you're not too old. Get excited. I know how you bought an 80 and got one foot in the grave, doesn't open out of peeling, and all that. But you still got no fear to have 200 in Sunday school. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you, honestly, seriously, we're going to put some little sign-up thing. We're going to sign you up. Get everybody who can to sign up. I don't even sign up. Well, I need to get folks to church, sign them up, do anything you can. Instead of church, you know, it's legitimate. Now, how many of you will do your dead level best? You know, you cross your heart and hope to die. You ever do that? Cross your heart and hope to die. You'll do your dead level best to have 200 in Sunday school 2 weeks from tomorrow morning. Raise your hand. Raise up high. How many of you want? One, two, you want? Brother Asa, you want? He's asleep. He kept his hand up. All right. Now then, how many of you you won't do your best, but you won't get in our way while we come through? Would you hold your hand? All right, fine. Well, you better get out of the way. Whoever holds you really knock you down in the man's rug. Now, seriously, get your blood to boil about this thing. Get excited over it, and God will bless you before long you'll be having 300 Sunday school every Sunday. Hold your Bible tonight to the 126th Psalm and the 6th verse. The 126th Psalm. Brother Preacher, would you turn that fan off of me a little bit, Preacher? The 126th Psalm and the 6th verse, if you will. How many of you are here tonight? Raise your hand, would you? You hear it? All right, brought your Bible, put your hand down. All right, thank you. Now listen, bring your Bible to church. Why, this boy hides in school. If I didn't bring my textbook, just bring it and stay in that school, set the corner with us, cap everything else. Now, you might have to do that. Aren't you lucky? You just lucky to have me down here. I do. Aren't you lucky? Bless your heart. I want to tell you something. I believe God's people will bring the Bibles and tell me where to go. Well, tonight, in the 126th Psalm, the 6th verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now I know that these two nights and these two free services we've had, I know that I could have come down here and I could have preached on drinking, and boy, I'd have got everybody on my side. So none of you folks drink, hope you don't. And I'd have got everybody on my side. I know what kind of church you are. I'd have preached on dancing. Boy, you said that's the most wonderful thing in all the world. He sure let him have tonight, didn't he? And then I could have preached on adultery. I imagine most of you said, boy, that's a great sermon. I want to tell you that's just right down my line. And he sure let him have it tonight. And I could have preached on me. I imagine I even preached on picture shows. And boy, I'd have got lots of amens and lots of folks to believe what I had to say. And boy, we'd have had a wonderful time. Well, I could preached on smoking. I imagine I'm getting mine to do it. I see some bulge in pockets, you know. Cover your pockets, fellas. That's right. And some of my folks are getting better. So they're cutting the hands now and smoking the hands at a time. They get a lot better about it. But now, I could have preached on smoking, and I imagine perhaps gotten some amens, and you thought I was one of seven. I could preach on, killing somebody, a murder, things like that, the Ten Commandments or whatnot, you didn't like it. I want to tell you something. I believe that the greatest sin is killing somebody. I believe that the greatest sin is cursing. I believe that the greatest sin is smoking, if any of you folks right here are committing. I believe that you folks right here, most of you are committing a sin greater than the sin of adultery. I believe most of you are committing a sin greater than the sin of dancing, or going to a picture show, or smoking. I believe that most of you folks right here are guilty of the worst sin a child of God can commit. You say, preacher, what is it? I know when I preach on this, and I preach all the time. Now, when I preach on this, I know exactly what's going to happen. The old masonry inside of you says, I don't like that. It's against me. It's about what I've been doing. What I haven't been doing. And I don't like that. I'm going to tell you something. When I started preaching, I told God I didn't care what folks like it or not. I said, Lord, Jesus likes it. That's all I care. And Lord, if they don't like it, I told my deacon the other day, one of them said something about my preaching. I said, now listen, I want you to know right now. As long as I'm in the physical preach, what I thank God wants me to preach, meantime you deacons don't want to preach it, you let me know. I'll get out here on the day to see you somewhere and I'll get you a crowd. But I want to tell you something. I wouldn't give 15 cents for a church where I couldn't preach the truth. Now, I want to tell you tonight, the greatest sin that you're committing as a church, I can pat you on the back and say how wonderful you are. I think you are wonderful. I can tell you about your good spirit. I think you have a wonderful spirit. But there's a sin that you're committing that's the most hideous, awful, wicked, vile, ungodly sin that I know of in the whole wide, wide world for a child of God. What is that sin? It's the sin sin of not doing what Psalm 126 says. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. Now, the sin that I'm talking about is a failure in the past of you people to go out here and win these people in prayer to Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not visiting with Jesus, you're committing a greater sin, the old drunkard out in the gutter. Because you know better. You've been saved. You've been born again. You have a message of eternal life. And yet you don't love God enough to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, the office sin you can commit, stay home on visitation night. The office sin you can commit is not come down to church house. Go out and look on the field, win souls, and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to speak tonight, to speak on five reasons why I witness. They're all five found in the sixth verse of the 126th Psalm. The first one is found in those words that says, he that goeth forth. Now, in the first place, the reason I witness is because God says to witness. See, Jesus said, the last thing he said was, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and preach it. He didn't say if you feel like it, go, or if you think you ought to go, or if you're turned that way, go, or if you're so disposed, go. Jesus said, go into all the world. The greatest commandment ever gave, or the greatest commandment we ever gave a commandment, was when Jesus said, go into all the world. He's talking to you, and 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 every last one of us. But he said, go. He was talking for you to go. And the reason I witness is because God told me to go. But I have a man say, well, preacher, I would go, but I'm just not turned that way. I said, my MRS, you get on your knees and God will turn you around. He said, preacher, I'm even not built that way. I said, get on your knees and God will rebuild you. That's what you need. Now listen, brother, when you become a child of God, Jesus saves you. The Holy Spirit regenerates you, and you're born for love. And when God saves you and comes in your heart, he gives you a desire to win souls and witness for Jesus. Now you've been saved, you have that desire. God has made you, rebuilt you, or God has turned you around. Now you know how. I joined the Army back in 1944, World War II. I got that sweet little letter from Uncle Sam, President. Did you better get that? Said, greetings. You have been selected by your friends and neighbors. That's the biggest lie ever saw. I didn't have a friend or neighbor in the whole bunch, especially a friend. The fight in the battle, you know. Well, I got in and there was 10 of us went in together. I came down here to San Antonio to Fort San Luis and 10 of us went in together. I was a little bitty fellow then. Boy, I had my ministry of larger program, you know, down here. I was a little bitty fellow and weighed 141 pounds. I mean, that's it. Dripping wet after eating several bananas. 141 pounds. So I went in with 9 other fellows. There's 10 of us. And boy, the other 9 fellows were one All-American, a little All-American, one All-Conference, one All-City, you know. And there you and they gave us all the physical examinations. And I was a little frail for a guy, you know, with muscles about the size of a peanut. And I walked in there and they gave me the examination. And they said, now, fellas, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you all examination. And the ones of you who are the best physical specimen, you're going to go in the infantry, and the ones that are a little weak are going to go behind the typewriter. Well, I can just start going across my fingers like that all of a sudden, you know. Because I was a little bit skinny, scrawny fella, and all those great big muscular fellas. Well, but I looked there and they gave us all the examination, and they came out to tell us the result of the examination. Yes, I was right. The other 9 and I were separated. I went to the infantry, the other 9 went to the typewriter. One of them was all little all American, one of them was all Southwest Conference. One was all state, one was all city, and I was all shot. But I was the one that had to go and fight the infantry. Well, they finally said, when I got down to Fort Sam Houston, they said, anybody want to join us? I said, I don't care what it is. Give you a bad infantry, you know. I'll join. And they said, the paratrooper. Well, I raised my hand. So I went to the paratrooper. 19 weeks later, I found myself in Fort Greene, Georgia. Inside of an airplane for the first time in my life, I had never known what an airplane looked like. I was 1,200 feet from the ground. I had nothing but a little pipe on my back and a prayer in my heart. Looking down in the great beyond of the place, and the sergeant behind me said, ready, go. I looked at him as long as I lived. Everybody behind me was down in Texas, did a big short belt, and I looked around him, and this short got off the plane, he was crying, great, big old tears on down his cheek. He said, Jack, keep it all kid, you will. I never had a better offer in my life than what he gave me that day. Well, I was hitting John. Well, what's it all that? We had a little Negro boy who went through fast-track training with us, and I mean fast-track training is rough. I went out of the world, I was up through it. We had to run 10 miles one day without stopping, count cadence all the way. And anyway, this little Negro boy trained so hard. You know, when you join the paratroopers, they give you a set of wings, a pair of wings, put on your coat here, and they give you a nice lapel to put on your shoulder. They give you some nice looking boots, tough as towels, you know, and then you look really sharp. We've all lived out the best looking folks in the world. Well, this little Negro boy, he dreamed of wearing those boots. He had his girlfriend back in Harlem, up, you know, in Harlem. and that was his sweetheart. And he dreamed for all those weeks about going back and walking down the streets of Harlem. And there he was looking up and saying, that's my Phoebe. Those boots, you know, and that insignia, and the cap, and the wings. And he dreamed all the time until finally came the fatal day. The sergeant was in the plane, and the Negro was fixing the jump. And the sergeant said, ready? Go! And always asked him to stand up and hook up. You know, you had a whole bunch of stuff on. Asked him to stand up and hook up your parachute on the cable that went down to the middle of the plane. And so the sergeant would say, stand up and hook up, and you stand up, hook up. And they would say, ask me the most foolhardy question anybody ever heard in your life. He said, is everybody happy? Now, can you imagine that? 1,200 feet in the ground, a parachute on your back, never seen an airplane before, and the fool sergeant says, are you happy? That was just not easy, you know. They got you down what's called the sweat shop, you know, before you sweat here, before you went up in the airplane. And they played songs like, in the sweet pines, on that other golden shore. And when we all get to heaven, and I'll be glad when you're dead, you ask for you, a bunch of songs like that, you know. And then send us up to jump out of the plane. Well, I'll never forget, as long as I live. He was just a 135-pound little boy, trained to heart, to go back to Harlem and show off his parachute outfit to his sweetheart. He stood in the door. You never saw white eyes, just so white, and a black face, just so white, in your life, as a little boy. He stood in the door. And the sergeant said, stand up and look up. And he stood up and looked up. The sergeant said, they're not happy. He said, yes, sir. And the sergeant said, ready? Go! And the little boy looked up. And the sergeant said, ready? Go! And the little boy, he just shook his head and didn't do it. And finally, the first time, the sergeant said, ready? Go! And the boy said, nah, sir. I ain't gonna do this halfway. I ain't gonna jump, you know. I want to quit. So the sergeant said, all right, we have a quick slip. You can quit if you want to. So they took the plane down to the ground, down the hangar, into the deck of the sergeant, and off of the Negro boy quickly. His mind went back to Harlem. He could see that those nice boots and those pretty wings, you know, and the nice insignia and the lovely cap and all the sharp uniforms he'd have on. And he said, I don't want to see it. I don't want to jump. I don't want to see a passenger, you know. Well, back up in the plane again. Stand up and look up again. Stand up again. Ready to go again. No, sir. Again. I want to jump. Well, back down the hangar. Back in the office. Back in the quick slip. I don't want to quit again. Back up in the plane again. Back in the stand up and look up again. Stand the door again. Ready to go again. I don't want to go again. I saw a single man, I saw three sergeants and four lieutenants, I saw seven men, now I've said either gospel truth or I ever told it, seven men do their best to push a 135-pound Negro out of the airplane. As far as I know, he hasn't gone out of the airplane yet. That's right. That's right. Now, that little boy wanted to go. He intended to go. He wanted the result of having gone. But he wouldn't go when the sergeant said go. And every time I think about that, I think about the last remember. They want to go. They intend to go. They want the result of going. They want the power of God in our services. They want the people to walk down the aisle. They want to feel the warmth of the service where folks are saved. And yet, on Thursday night and Thursday morning, they're not willing to pay the price to go out and visit for Jesus. And I want to tell you something right now. You're not going to feel the warmth of souls being saved Sunday after Sunday and week after week and month after month unless you, and I am one of you, are willing to go out here and knock on doors and pray and win souls to Jesus Christ. And you've got to go. The sergeant said, ready, go. And the boy wouldn't go. And Jesus said, for you to go. And he intends for you to go and tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the worst reason I know is because God said go. The second reason is not in those next words, and weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth. The second reason I did it, and witness, is because I am burdened for the souls of men. Oh, I want to tell you, a soul is headed for a hell over here in the heart, every one of us. When there's a lady who lives in the home, with a husband whose soul will burn and cry in hell, how it ought to burden the heart of that little lady for a lost husband. There's a little lady in my church, that a boy, 14. He's lost. He's a spirit little boy. His father's ungodly. And this boy is spirit. This lady weeps every Sunday. Oh, God, save my boy. Preacher, pray for my boy. Last Sunday morning, she said, preacher, I don't care what my husband says. I want to talk to my boy. You know, when we get burdened, folks are going to come to Jesus. Had the lady in Marshall. She joined our church. She had a little, what this little lady out here had. She had a little, you won't get mad at me, but she had a little whole roll of blood in her, you know. I think everybody's going to have a little whole roll of blood in her, don't you? Don't you? But if you don't think so, that means you ought to have it. It means you're minus it, you know. And anyway, this little lady had a little whole roll of blood in her. Somebody called me a whole roller. I said, bless the Lord. I'm holy and I'm leaving and rolling out for Jesus. So I'm a whole roller. Well, I'm a church of God. I belong to the church of Christ. I belong to the assembly of God. Now, I'm not in all those churches, but I'm in God's assembly, and I'm in Christ's church. I belong to all those things. I won't say something. I'll kick this person back to second anyhow. I'm a child of God first. Well, this little lady was in my church, and so she She's concerned about her husband. And I've heard it many times. I've heard her pray. She says, yes, it's the sweetest way of praying. And she said, Jesus, save him. Jesus, please save him. Save him, Jesus. Please, Jesus, save him. And I've heard her weep a little heart out down the altar. Pray for God to save him. Jim was her husband. Jim was a wicked drunkard. Jim was a vile man. He never came to church. So finally, one day I went out and talked to Jim. He came to church that Sunday, and as he came, she said, preacher, please, please tell Jesus to save him. I preached, and he just wasn't saved. So finally, on Christmas night of 1949, Jim was in the service. I'll never forget it. As the invitation was about to be sung, I was in the latter part of my message. Old Jim got up, walked down the aisle, fell on his knees, didn't even take his hand, fell on his knees, and asked God to save him, and was wonderfully saved. And that little lady, you know, she had a little blood, you know, and all of a sudden she just started just shaking, you know, just felt like I'm doing that now. I could feel her eyes fixing the road, you know, just fixing the road. And all of a sudden she just sort of went out in the aisle like it was all clouds, you know. And down the aisle she went. Why do you think she was a fairy skipping a great big old 2 pounder? You think she was a fairy skipping down the aisle? Of course she went off the altar, and then she jumped up here and she hugged me, and now she came. Everybody thought she hugged, you know. That was my holy hug. I don't believe in modern hugs, you know. Well, better than you could have dancing to know how to hug sit down, you don't mind. But anyhow, she was hugging everybody, you know. Everybody thought she was hugging. And so she came and hugged me, and all of a sudden she started shouting, oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Why? How all the boys started hitting the windows of the girls out the back.